21 to 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Are you ready? Well, what a week. If just on Friday we said goodbye to Rhoda at 95, was it? 93, I added two more years. Well, you see, somebody was listening at 93. But death sometimes comes to those who are younger than 93. You see, originally it was designed to make sure that we lived a full span of life. When God created us, he did not say that some are going to die young. Anyone who dies young, this is an indication that we don't live in a perfect world. Every time we see somebody who is not well, we need to recognize that it is not ideal. The ideal is that we should live a full span of life. And you know, if you believe in God, if you believe in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not sure whether you can avoid the fact that his desire is that we should be whole. I don't think we can. But the truth is, our hospitals are full of very, very ill people, aren't they? So what are we to make of that? Do we turn around and blame them and say it's your fault? If you had faith, everything would be okay. Or do we turn around and look at ourselves and say, well, we have no faith? Or do we do like what our ancestors about 200 years ago did. They looked around and they said, well, you know, we don't see a lot of healing nowadays. I think we have to adjust our theology to reflect the truth of what we see around us. And therefore they decided this. You know, when you read in the Bible about Jesus healing the sick, Jesus commanding his disciples to go and do the same, he's not commanding us. Really, he's not. He was just commanding them so that they would prepare the way for people to believe in Jesus and to believe in the scriptures. Once they did that, then that was it. And what I want to say is, I think that sells me short of all that God has in store for us. Because how can you say Jesus is our example? And he is, isn't he? We try and follow him. How can we follow him saying, I want to be like Jesus, and then pass somebody who is ill and not pray for them? How can we? So this morning, it's all headlines. Otherwise, we could be here until tomorrow morning. And you know I can, don't you? Because you see, Ian is standing right at the back, ready to say, healing is based on what we believe about God. Look at those words from the Old Testament. I am the Lord who heals you. What is there not to understand about that? Can you say, I don't understand that? Does that need explaining at all? It doesn't. It remains true today as it was when God said those words through Moses. But that is not all. I mean, listen to David. This is what David says. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. And what does this Lord do? Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins. We believe that, don't we? Ah, and heals all your diseases. Do you believe that? Well, if you believe the first one, I'm not sure whether you can say the second one doesn't apply, can you? Who redeems you alive from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He is a gracious and compassionate God. Oh, listen to this from Psalm 107. This is a story about, the psalmist is reflecting on the experience of the people of God. And on verse 15, he says, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to all human beings or to all mankind. If we believe that Jesus is a pioneer of our faith, then we need to listen to what he says to his disciples. Because I believe that, you know, in Matthew 28, when he says, go into all the world, I'm not sure he's just speaking to those 12 or to the 70 and tells them, well, you know, you go and do it. And that is it. I think he tells them to go and do it because whatever he has said, he will be with them throughout. Do you believe Jesus is here? Do you? Really? Hallelujah. This morning there is going to be healing, because everywhere he is, you can expect healing. Every time we pray, we can expect his peace to come. So in Luke chapter 9, he calls the 12. And then he sends them out for a good exercise. He tells them, go and heal the sick. Go and drive out demons. And they do the same. In chapter 10, it's even better. Read it during lunchtime. He calls another 72. And he says, go and do the same. And for me, those two scriptures tell me something very, very important. Jesus meant for every believer to have all that he has in store for everyone. When it comes to healing, it's not for specialists. It is for all the people of God. Now, this is a difficult verse. John 14:12. Let me just read it to you and you tell me what you think about this. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than this, because I am going to the Father. I hope you're beginning to feel uncomfortable, because those words, I tell you, oh, they give me the heebie-jeebies. They really do. Because every time I read them, I hear Jesus saying this. You know, when I saved you, Francis, I did not save you so that you can be a question mark to everyone that you meet. You can keep saying, well, I hope, I believe, I trust. He actually said, hey, the spirit that raised me from the dead lives in you, Catherine. Yeah. And that is why you could pray for your dog. Well, she did. And you believe this. In there, she told us a story. Do you mind me sharing it? You do, or you don't mind? Oh, you don't mind. Well, I have to be very clear. Do you know, her dog had a lump. And she was worried about it. So what does she do? Like a good Christian, she prays for her dog. God cares about her dog as much as she does. So what happens to the lump? It goes down just like that. Now, I'd have loved to have Ian there saying, now, let me diagnose this. But the thing is, God heals. And sometimes he's dependent on our prayers. I don't believe Jesus ever prayed for a dog, did he? There is Catherine stretching herself beyond what you might say is within the scriptures because of her faith. What about Matthew? He comes to them and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. And that word go implies that that authority is given to you. That's what it means. It can't mean anything else. Because I don't believe that Jesus would say, you know what, I want you to go and I'll be watching from a distance. I'll be marking your failure, and one day I shall meet with you and I will say, you know, Francis, you made a pig's ear of all that you did, because, you know, you should have. No, because he says, I am with you. Let me repeat those words that I said a few moments ago. The same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you personally. And that's why Jesus is able to say, you will do greater things than I have done. And this doesn't call for us to explain what it is. It calls us to walk in the truth of those words. It doesn't call us to go to university to study those words and say, I wonder what they mean. It calls us to actually say, if he says that, I'm going to walk in the truth of those words. I told you it was headlines. What about the experience of the early church? Here is Peter at Lydda. He walks into a place and finds that there is somebody who is not well. His name is Aeneas. Listen to the words. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the people, the Lord's people who live in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, we may want to kind of, you know, forget about the healing and look at they turned to the Lord and say, well, you see, that was what was designed. No. Jesus healed Aeneas because he wanted to heal Aeneas. As a result of that, others were blessed as they saw it. What about Paul in Matthew 28. Oh, James 5. Oh, this is a good one. Oh, I need to read this to you. This is a lovely one. I need to read this to you. Where is it? Oh, it's here. James chapter 5. This is what it says in James chapter 5. And this is the practice of the early church. Is any of you ill? Is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, we may listen to those words and try and put strictures on them, or rather put boundaries around those words and say, now, if you are ill, as an elder, I just sit on the sidelines and wait for you to say, come and pray for me. Because until you do, why should I? In other words, the responsibility is yours. You call me, I will come. You don't call me, tough luck. I don't think that is what... That is only one practice among many. And we need to be people who are so full of God's love and sensitivity that we pray whenever we find difficulties and trouble. I look around this congregation and I know that I've prayed for a lot of you. And not only that, I know you have prayed for one another. Because you do. That's the thing that you do. But now, that is enough. Let's have a look at that story that was read to us, shall we? First, we know that in the whole of those two stories, Jesus is very, very sensitive to the needs of those who come to him. This ruler comes to him. He is desperate for his daughter. What does Jesus do? He doesn't begin a theological question. Do you believe I can heal your child? Because if you don't, it's no use me coming, is it? Instead, he immediately stops whatever he was doing and goes with them. So you see, he is full of compassion. And he is so compassionate that he stops everything. He is followed by thousands. And he ignores the thousands in order to go and heal one little girl. And don't forget, they live in a world where life is very, very devalued. Especially women. And yet this man values her daughter, his daughter, and what does Jesus say? You value her, I value her too. Let's go and do the deed. You've asked me to come, I am coming. Mm-hmm. And then we find that he commends faith, not in the man, that will come later, but in this lady that comes to him. She really cannot stop Jesus and say, you know, Jesus, I am in trouble. Can I tell you my story? Can't do that. Because whatever she's suffering from is not for public consumption. In fact, had she said, Jesus, excuse me, I have an issue of blood, everyone would have said, whoa, what does she think she's doing? Because that was one of those anathema, one of those caste things that, you know, people say, well, if you have got an issue of blood, then you do not go anywhere near other people because you will contaminate them. And this woman comes. This is why she just touches the hem of Jesus' cloth. That's all she wants to do, because she really believes it sensitively, that is all she can do. And then, you know, if I had been Jesus, I would have looked around and then seen her and said, bless you. Rather than saying, who touched me? Because, well, obviously, if he is God, he must know what is going on. And yet he gives her the opportunity to actually declare openly what has happened. Why does he do that? I don't know. And, well, if you have an answer, you can tell me later. I don't know. And there are things that Jesus does that really, sometimes they don't make sense to us. But he, don't forget, he is fully human. But there is something that we see underlying all this. That sensitivity does not mean that he doesn't want to say a word to that that lady, a personal word. And he does say that to her, doesn't he? When she comes and she says, look, no, I have been healed. Then he says, take courage, daughter. She probably thought she was as far away from God as she could imagine, because the tradition of the day said that if you have these problems, God is not interested in you at all. And yet, Jesus says, take courage, daughter. Your faith has made you whole. And then the bottom falls off, doesn't it? Because at the point where he's saying, your faith has made you whole, what happens next? Bad news comes. Sorry, Jairus, forget about the teacher. It's gone. She is dead. So you better get home and start preparing for burial. In the Jewish culture, there was no waiting. You died, you were buried before sunset. That's what happened. And therefore, what they're saying is, you know, listen, it's happened, it's time now to forget about the teacher. Go and prepare yourself. And already they have got professional mourners who have arrived at the place. And what does Jesus do? Jesus encourages faith in Jairus. And he is always encouraging faith in others. So he says, don't be afraid. Just believe. And when he gets there, we are back again to how sensitive he is. What does he say to those who have gathered and are saying, oh dear, oh, and she was such a beautiful girl, oh poor thing, and what are we going to do without her? And he's bound to say those words. He says, what is all this commotion? She's not dead. And of course, everybody starts laughing. Because you see, they live with death. They know when somebody is dead. And yet, he says, no, she is only asleep. Now, I've got three beautiful girls who are hiding somewhere. They're hiding away from me because... are they? Yes, I know. Oh, bless you. Yes, because, you know, they have been running away from me all day. And just imagine if it was Annabelle. Sorry. May I use that example? Just imagine if it was Annabelle. And Annabelle had died. What would her friends from that... And don't forget, the news will have gone round. Everywhere. She's dead. I wonder how she would settle again in the community where she has lived if she's been known as the girl who died and came back to life. How does she deal with that? Jesus is sensitive enough to say, no, she is not dead. She is asleep. And actually, doesn't Paul pick up on that same theme? My brothers and sisters, I don't want you to worry about those who have gone to sleep in the Lord. We believe Jesus died and rose again, and so it will be for all those who die believing in Jesus. God will bring them to life. He's talking about resurrection. But for Jesus, it happens now. Therefore, he just goes to her and says, little girl, get up. Little girl, get up. And she does. She does. And so this day, as we come to receive communion, let us allow God to give us faith to believe that he's able to do far more than we can ever imagine or think. If you believe God can do that, today, I hope you will say, he can do that. And therefore, what is it that stops me from coming to him and saying, I want your shalom. I want your wholeness in me. I pray for healing, not only for me, but for all those around me. I pray for healing. Why do I pray for healing? Because that's only a touching point. But it is equally as important. Lest we forget, the hospital movement was begun by Christians. We do not choose between medicine and divine healing. We accept all healing as from God. And we give thanks to God for our doctors. And we give thanks to God who sometimes sovereignly touches us and heals us. He heals our diseases. He restores us. We don't choose. We should never need to choose. May we not choose today, but at communion. And we will use a shortened form of communion so that there is plenty of time for you to go for prayer and so on. Please take advantage of the chapel and take advantage with one another. When we come to share the peace at the end of the service, if you have got healing needs, don't just say, the peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. Just turn around to somebody else and say, and how may I pray for you? Put into practice what you have heard. And I shall be at the door blessing every one of you. And I will be asking you, how are you? And if you tell me, I haven't been well, I will ask you this question. Have you received prayer? And you know, I do ask you that. Because I believe that this is a place for healing. This is a place of encounter. How dare we not take advantage of all that God has in store for us? The Lord is here. Amen. Amen.